Is where we're going to start. We're in our series called You Asked For It. If you still have questions, go ahead and submit them. I will continue to answer them. It'll be either on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or maybe through December even and January. I will get to them in time. Today's questions kind of, there were several that kind of went together. You know, preacher, today's lesson is going to really cover all the, how do I... And then you fill in the blank. You know, how do I get my lost friends and family to come to church? How do I deal with toxic people in the workplace? How do I comfort my friends of mine that are lost, when they've had a death or their relationship's breaking up? You know, how do I forgive somebody? How do I handle a prodigal child? How do I deal with a difficult person or a difficult spouse? How do I handle disappointments? And how do I handle fill in the blank? And today I want to talk to you about how to deal with these things, all right? To do this, you have to invoke the most powerful resource in the universe. I'm talking about the most powerful resource in the universe. Without a doubt, hands down, without compare, the most powerful resource in the universe is prayer. Okay, only a couple of us agree. Okay? And this is why you have the problems you do. You know why I can say that? Because I have recently come to understand why I have the problems I do. I've become very dissatisfied with my prayer life. I've become very accustomed to praying and nothing happening and going, okay, well. When you get around somebody who understands how to get a hold of heaven, you start to get real dissatisfied with the fact that maybe there's something wrong on my end. Because they can seem to get through. The most powerful resource in the universe is prayer. Because if you read your Bible, because remember last week we talked about God's wisdom. How that my wisdom's garbage. You know that my wisdom is either earthly or sensual or devilish. But that God's wisdom, if you could ask for anything, holy cow, God put such a price on it, such a value on it, that the devil counterfeits it. You know, prayer moves the arm of God. Prayer is as big as God is. Prayer reaches as far as God can reach. How big is your God? Maybe that's a problem. Maybe that's something else I need to preach on. Maybe I ought to back the truck up and talk to you about how big God is. I mean, if your God is a shoebox-sized God, that's where your problem is. You know, where you keep God in a box until your bills get too big and you bring him out and dump him on your dining room table and go, there you go, God, fix it. You think God is like a garden gnome or a genie that you rub the lamp and go, here you go, here, God, here you go. Here, I'm having a problem now, God, here. I want three wishes. Here you go. And that's why you don't pray. Look, prayer is as big as God is. Prayer is as powerful as God is. Why? Because prayer moves the hand of God. Do you realize it was a prayer that split the Red Sea? Do you realize it was a prayer that freed Peter from prison? Do you realize it was prayer that Joshua prayed and God stopped the rotation of the earth for a day? Do you realize it was a prayer that caused the earth to go back 10 degrees in its rotation? See, Jesus, you know the one that you claim saved your soul is going to take you to heaven? The one that you say has prepared a place for you in heaven? That guy said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Do you realize the word all, it's only got three letters, but there's nothing outside of all, because all means it's all encompassing. There's nothing outside of all. All is all there is, it's all. Jesus said in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing is impossible. Nothing. No thing. The God of everything possible invites you and I to ask him for anything we want. You know, I did a real quick study this week.
And I couldn't find a place in the Bible where God limited the number of things I could ask for. Hold on now, we're coming up on Christmas. Have you already started to put your list together? For your family, right? You know, you haven't done that yet. Y'all get on that now, right? But when my kids were little, they understood this whole concept. They would go to the store and sneak home the Lego magazine from the toy section because they would just like start circling things, right? We go to Kohl's and you think, well, Kohl's? Kohl's has a section of stuff for little boys on it. And they'd circle things. Oh, I want this and I'd want that. And they'd slide that on the dining room table, leave it open for mom to see it. They understood prayer. We used to live near a Sonic and a Little Caesar's Pizza. And every time we'd go home on Sunday night, they would start to supplicate from the back row of the Suburban. And they'd go, Sonic, 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 Sonic. And they realized, you know, the person who really could get through to mom was Ben. Ben had a straight line to mom as the baby from the car seat. Benny, tell mom about Sonic. Sonic! You want Sonic, baby? Okay. Prayer is as big as God is. So I got excited this week because God does not put a number on the things you can ask God for. God instructed, you know, when I started going to prayer advance with the men of this church, my mind got opened up to the concept of how crucial prayer is in the Christian life. Because when we pray, we enter the very throne room of God. I am brought directly into the very presence of the Creator of the universe. I mean, you understand that, right? I don't pray to some fallen angel who passes himself off like some charlatan. You understand that, right? I don't pass myself off. I don't pray to some force, some unknowable force like the Unitarians think. No, no. I'm talking to the God, the only God there is, the God who hears, the God who listens, the God who stays, the God who saves, the God who's very close at hand, the God who invites me, who wants me to come to his very presence, the most powerful resource in the universe. And we have been fooled by the devil to think, you don't have time for that foolishness. No, we have been fooled that it's foolishness. Remember, the wisdom that cometh not from above is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Do you remember that from last week? That's not God's wisdom. God's wisdom is pure, the Bible says. Easily entreated. You can get it. You can go right to God and get it. But it takes prayer. You know, prayer is essential. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. That's what it says in James 4:2. You have not because you ask not. The reason you don't have it is because you're not asking. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. You have an unlimited access to the God of the universe. No matter how long you've been saved, whether it's been 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 years, or 50 years, God says, come talk to me. Just come talk to me. In Philippians 4, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Come talk to me. So what's your prayer life like? What's it like? I mean, come on, describe it to me. Take a second and just kind of describe it. Because I believe that every failure in my life is a failure to pray. How casual are we about prayer? Now, see, the book of James was written by the half-brother of Jesus. This was one of the four sons of Mary and Joseph, biologically. Mary and Joseph went on to have four boys and at least two girls after Jesus was born. So that means James saw Jesus as a teenager. You understand? And he did not believe Jesus was the Messiah until after the resurrection. Because Jesus said a prophet is not without honor except in his own house and among his own kin. But if you'll look at real quick in James 1, the Bible says, the servant of God of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. He wrote this letter to what I would consider exemplary Christians. Because in the book of Acts chapter number 8, in verse 1, when Saul of Tarsus, who would become the Apostle Paul, before he got saved, he was persecuting real Christians. And they were scattering. They would not compromise their faith. Now, some did, to their shame, and I understand that. They compromised. But not these. These are people who would rather die if they got caught than compromise. So they were scattered. And so James is writing this book to those that are exemplary, real non-compromising Christians. And he is focused six times just in chapter 5. He's talking about prayer. He's bringing this up to people who are the real deal. So in James chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions. That's Elijah. Like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, it's interesting. It says Elijah or Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. That means every doubt you and I have, Elijah, the great prophet, had. Every discouragement you have, Elijah had it too. Every insecurity, every concern, every failing, every mistake, every mess up you have, Elijah had it too. But yet he prayed. Now, there's four keys to prayer right here from verses 16 on down that you and I need to get. It says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. Let me tell you something. Number one, you need to pray. You go, that's dumb. No, there's no substitute for praying. There's no way you can say, lighting a candle is not real praying. I hope I don't make you mad. But there's no substitute for it. God wants you to talk to Him. God wants you to speak to Him. Where's little Titus at? Usually Titus is up here close where I can use him as an example. Where's he at? Where's little Titus? Let me explain something. Where's little Titus? Can I have little Titus? You think he'd let me pick him up? Do you think he'd let me? Hi, baby. Can I borrow you for a second? Come here, gorgeous. Oh, no, baby. How you doing? Titus, tell me what hurts. Tell me what your day was like. Did you see the sunrise? I made that for you. Did you see the eagle? I thought you'd like that. Did you see the clouds with the little twisties? I made that so the girls would see the rabbit. I know. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you would like, most of all. And I'll give it to you if you'll just use your words and tell me. Would you tell me what you would like? See, the problem is, this is what we're like. And our life is a string of boo-boos. Because instead of running and crawling up in God's lap. Now, he's a good little guy. That's the first time I probably ever held him. Okay? Please, don't think bad of him. He's actually a wonderful child. Him and I have great conversations, but he's not big on being held this by me. But anyhow, but that's kind of what we're like. This whole concept of being picked up into the lap of somebody we're not really familiar with. And we turn and we walk and we fall down. And our life becomes a string of boo-boos that we don't understand. When God is saying, if you'll just come up in my lap, I've done some really cool stuff for you. And I just want you to know, I was thinking of you when I did that. What hurts you today? What is it you really, really want? You know, there's no limit to what I would do if you would just ask me. There's no limit to the miracles I would give you if you would just tell me. Pray, because no one has power with God without prayer. Now, there are some prayer don'ts. I'll give you that. Somebody at one of the you asked for it questions was, there's some prayer don'ts. Okay, you might want to write these down. And to those that went to a couples advance a couple years ago, this was going to sound familiar because they fall right in line with this message, even though they weren't used on this text. Number one, don't be lazy. Don't be hazy. And don't be crazy in your prayers. And don't shy away from the doozies in prayer. Number one, don't be lazy. You got to pray. Elias, a man of same passage as we are, subject under the same passion, he prayed. You got to pray. So you have to ask. You know, and he didn't ask a small prayer either. Did you know that? You know, I don't mind answering your questions when you ask me questions, but the truth is, the thought crosses my mind. Have you asked God about this yet? I mean, don't be lazy. I'm like the fortune cookie of wisdom compared to God. Have you ever thought of that for a second? I am like the fortune cookie, right? God wants you to pray. You have not because you ask not. That's what James 4:2 says. Have you prayed about this yet? And you know, Alexa and Siri know even less than I do about what God thinks. Have you talked to God? So don't be lazy. But number two, don't be hazy. Elijah prayed specifically. Look at James 4:2. The word asks there in James 4:2 is the Greek word for to crave or desire, to require specifically. So go back to James 5:17. He said, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. What? What did he ask for? That it might not rain. Look at this now. That it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed one prayer and unhinged the entire regional weather pattern in the Middle East for 3.5 years. Hold on now. Is that not what it says? For 3.5 years, all the water that evaporated out of the Atlantic and the Mediterranean went north or south, but did not come straight east and drop in Israel. You understand how meteorology works and the water cycle, right? I mean, you remember that from high school? He prayed one prayer and unhinged the entire weather pattern of the Middle East. One prayer. You know, people of great prayer are people with a great prayer list. Do you have a list of specific requests that you're asking God for? I mean, if you'll show me your prayer list, I'll tell you what kind of prayer life you have. So what is it you want, really, from God, specifically? All right, let's go through a couple things. What do you want for your spouse, specifically? Because the problem is, when we don't have a list, we're hazy. Lord, I ask you to bless them and bless them and bless these people over here. And God, I'd like you to you know, just, God, put your eye upon them. And what is that? Can you define that? Can you even use 147 characters and get it in a tweet and make it understandable? What is it you really want for your kids? Specifically, what is it you really want? What is it you want for your grandkids? I mean, specifically, how do you want things to go? James says in chapter 4 and verse 2, you have not because you ask not. So what are you asking specifically for yourself? Sometimes that's easier, right? Because it's on your heart, you know, God, I want this job, and I want this raise, and I want to promote to this rank, and I want to get this billet. And sometimes you know what you don't want, right? Right? The night I got saved, I knew I didn't want to go to hell. I wasn't sure about how all this heaven thing works, but I was dead sure I didn't want to go to hell, right? And that led me to figure out how to get to heaven. And sometimes you're dead sure you don't want a billet in El Paso, Texas, right? You'd rather go to Germany or God awful anywhere else, right? I mean, most people, when we were there on staff at Hillcrest in El Paso, most people came to Fort Bliss kicking and screaming. And it wasn't until they'd found the church that they decided they liked the place, you know? Oh, what is it you specifically are asking God for the church? Oh, Lord, bless the preacher. How? With what? Look, I don't need glitter and unicorns. I need the power of God. I need the wisdom of God because I'm in way over my head here, y'all. And I need protection from the crazy people out there. I don't know about you, but that's some. Have you looked outside? What are you asking for America? What are you specifically asking God for America? Come on now, let's be real. We sit and watch cable news and we grind the enamel off our teeth. And we think to ourselves, how did it ever get like this? You have not because you ask not. We pray. Prayer is the most underutilized thing in the world, and we pray so pitifully little. So what's on your prayer list specifically? Does your spouse know what you're asking for them? What are you specifically asking God? You realize we're coming up on our Mrs. Mix and I's 37th Christmas together. And when you're buying Christmas gifts for your lady, gentlemen, specifics matter. You know what I'm talking about. It's Christmas whenever you decide to open presents. And she opens it and goes, and she gives you that look. If you've been with her for a while, you get that look. And you know what that look is, that it, you can feel it, the heat, burning you right here in your belly because it's coming through like. And you can hear it. It's like this mental Vulcan mind meld thing of, do you even know me? And that's why I got an iPhone. So I could take pictures wherever we go shopping. And she picks something up and goes, that's neat. And she isn't looking. I go, hey, Mom only raised one fool. He lives in Illinois. Right? Specifics matter. What is on your mate's prayer list for you? Because prayer changed everything. Why talk to me until you've talked to God? I thought about putting a sign right over here that says, have you prayed about it yet? You ever play the fortune cookie game? Because I'm like the fortune cookie of wisdom, right? Have you ever played the fortune cookie game? Do you know this game? You go to a Chinese buffet. I know everybody's getting hungry now, right? I'm going to be done in a minute. You open a fortune cookie and you read the fortune. You'll meet interesting and neat people today. But to make the game fun, you have to add the phrase in the bathroom at the end. You're going to meet neat and interesting people today in the bathroom. You can add that same phrase to the end of Pastor Mix's type of counseling and you'll get the same joke. Go home, be sweet, play nice, don't fight. In the bathroom. Right? And you think to yourself, that's foolish. Then why don't you talk to God? Don't be lazy. You need to pray. Matthew 7 and verse 7, ask and it shall be given. You seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be open. Don't be hazy. Pray specifically. Use a prayer list. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13, Jesus said, look, if your kid asks you for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. How much more will God give to them that ask him? I told Noah, I see his in-laws are here today. I told Noah I was praying for an Escalade. He said, that's nothing. I prayed for a Bentley. Yeah. See, without a prayer list, I pray for about 3 minutes and I'm real hazy. And then we're all shocked that God doesn't really kind of don't know what to do with all that mess. But when you have a prayer list, an hour passes in no time. Because you're shocked at all the things you can think of for God to do when you start writing them down. You know, preacher, well, you know, I just don't have time for that. Well, then don't complain. Your life stinks. Don't complain. Because you have not, because you ask not. You're not asking. We sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. How many of you have ever taken a time to pray for an hour? I once asked my preacher, I said, Brother Bob, does your mind wander? He goes, yeah, for the first half hour or so, and then after that, I'm fine. And at that moment, I'm like, have I ever prayed for a half an hour? See, a prayer list keeps you on track. It keeps you focused. So don't be lazy. Pray. Don't be hazy. Use a prayer list. Number three, don't be crazy. Stay focused. Look at James 5:17. It says, he prayed earnestly. That word earnest means eager, with desire. How many of you men get sent to the grocery store from time to time? How many of you get sent to the grocery store without a list? Never. Yeah, you're faking it. No. You're like, oh, No. Why? Because she has a must-have list. She has an idea of how she wants this to come out. She has a recipe she has found on the all-knowing internet, and it's got to have things that you've never heard of before, like psyllium husk. What, we going to like a chemical weapons store here? What is this? But this is a must-have list, okay? Because why does she do that? Because she knows when I go to the store, I go and I'll grab whatever looks shiny, like Bluebell ice cream. Did you know there's a new flavor out? Holy cow, there's a new flavor out. And I go for the shiny things. And when you pray, does your mind flit from shiny thing to shiny thing? Or does your prayer list become a wish list of, oh, Lord, I wish we would do this. And, oh, Lord, I wish they would do that. Stop being crazy. God says in the verse just before this, it says the effectual fervent prayer. That's hot, boiling, red hot prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. He's saying that earnest praying is that desire that's red hot. This is a must have. When you pray, you're in God's throne room. Don't be crazy. He is not your fairy godmother. He is not your valet. He's not your concierge. He's the king of the universe. Don't use flippancy and don't use dead orthodoxy where you're not actually thinking when you pray. He isn't interested in vanilla, dude. He wants red hot chili pepper prayers. The must have. See, here's why. Because when you're earnest and specific and God answers, only you and him will know it was him. Because you wrote it down and you wrote it down specifically. And when you see it specifically answered, you're going to be able to praise him because you're the one that's going to recognize, that was for me. Do you believe he answers prayer by faith? Only Miss Mix and I do. Okay. Matthew 21 says, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing. Believing. You've got to believe. We believe more in Amazon. Believe. When I ask God for things, I believe it's going to happen. And I praise him and say, God, I know it's coming. Do you believe he answers according to your obedience? 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Do you believe that God is all powerful? Do you believe that God hears your prayer? 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have. What? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Do you believe God commands us to pray? Yes. Philippians 4, he says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. This is not a new concept. You realize prayer is how you got into this thing. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is how you got into this thing, was prayer. Prayer is not a new concept. I like sports, but I don't really follow sports. You know, I like them. I'd go watch the two worst teams in America. Well, I'd go watch the worst two teams in the universe. And was that the Colts and the Cowboys? I can't remember. They all start with a C. I can't remember. I told you I don't know sports. I'm not really interested in anything that's not Bears related. But anyhow, I would go watch the two worst teams in America and have a blast because fans are wonderful. They get in it, man. They're shouting, they're screaming, they're having fun. They prepare the day before, right? Especially at this time of year, it's cold. If we were to go to Baltimore, what? We'd dress up, we'd get us something to sit on, and we'd be, you know, we'd have hand warmers and whatever. We'd prepare and we'd get into it. Black Friday's coming. You ever seen ladies get ready for Black Friday? Man, they have coordinated with their gaggle of friends. They've got a text string going. They know where they're going and when they're going, what they're going to stand in line with. They have prepared and they're in it. When's the last time you got in it? In prayer. Isaiah 44:3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Charles Spurgeon said, he who prays without fervency does not pray at all. Look, if your prayers don't move your heart, it's not going to move God's. So where were you the last time you got fervent, red hot in prayer? Was that at the emergency room at Children's Hospital? Let's think back. When was the last time you got earnest? Was it at the doctor's office awaiting the test results? Was it the OR waiting room? You know, the Bible says, you know, in everything by prayer. But do you realize the byproduct of prayer is the next verse in Philippians 4:7? And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. That the byproduct of prayer is peace in your heart. God isn't going to calm every storm, brothers and sisters, but he will calm his child if his child is in prayer. And I want you to understand that today's condition, your condition today, is based on your last week's prayers. So when somebody asks you, how's your week going? And you're like, what does that say about your prayer life? I'm not talking that everything's unicorn and glitter. Okay, I understand that. Please, I live in the real world. But do you understand that your kids' tomorrow is based on your today's prayers? And your kids really are not, I mean, do you honestly think your kids are going to be okay with your hazy, crazy, paper mache prayer? Come on now. My kids are grown, and I look back over my life, and I'm asking myself, where'd I miss it? Where'd I miss it? Do you want to be there? Is that how you want it to be? Now, I got good kids, and they love their mama, and they love me, and they're good boys, and I thank God for them, but they seem to gravitate toward the worst parts of me rather than the best. They're good boys, and I love them. I'm not here to shame them, but do you honestly think your kids' future is going to be okay based on your today's prayers? They will be if something doesn't change. They won't be if something doesn't change. So don't be lazy. And don't be hazy. Get specific. Make a list. You'll be shocked at how many things you actually want God to do, and God doesn't put a limit on it. God says, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. There's more you can ask me for. There's so much more I'm ready to do. If you'll just acknowledge it's me doing it, come on. There's more. I haven't hit bottom yet. There's more in the bucket. Come on. Don't be lazy. Don't be hazy. Don't be crazy. You know, as a father of four boys, I love Febreze. Can I get an amen? You can spray Febreze on all kinds of things. But Febreze don't make it clean. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Do you try to Febreze your prayers? I mean, God hears the prayers of the righteous, those that are right with God. Are you clean? Charles Spurgeon would say at the end of his sermons, now don't you leave here if you're not clean. It isn't safe out there. Are you clean? Sin blocks our prayers. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, or 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. If there's a wall between you and your spouse, there is a ceiling between you and your God. If there is a wall between you and your parents, there is a ceiling between you and your God. God wants you to be clean. 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all. There ain't nothing outside all. You know that sin that keeps coming back, that keeps nagging at you with guilt and remorse. Let me tell you something. God cleansed you. If you ask him to forgive you, he cleansed you from that. By grace, you can be clean. But you're never going to be cleaner than you purpose to be. Do you want God's power unleashed in your life? Yes or no? I mean, you can keep doing what you're doing. And we're going to love you. And I don't judge you because I got all the problems. I got all I can handle where I live, right? Right here. I got all the problems I can handle. But are you ready to have God's power unleashed in your life? Are you ready for things to change? Are you ready for God to do something that you want done, but you just haven't had the gumption or the guts to ask? Then it's time. Let's stop being lazy. Let's stop being hazy. And let's ask. Because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You realize that when your kids get into mud puddles, one washing never suffices the rest of their life. Right? It's not a one and done. You got to stay on top of it. And that's why in Psalm 139, the prayer is, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What is that prayer saying? God, search me, bring up the things that I've been either unwilling or haven't noticed, and God, show them to me, and I will confess them, and I will repent of them, and I will forsake them. I will pray with that importunity. I will do it, and I will forsake them and turn from them. Don't be lazy, hazy, crazy, or Febreze. But it says here in verse number 18, he prayed in verse 17 and the rain stopped. But in verse 18, it says he prayed again and the heavens gave rain. Now, what you're not reading there in 1 Kings chapter 18 is the fact that after the great victory, he prayed once and the rain stopped. He prayed once and God brought fire down from heaven and ate up the sacrifice. And he ended up having this victory where he slayed 450 prophets of Baal and brought a revival to Israel. But when he prayed to bring the rain back, he ended up having to pray 7 times in a row, 6 times with no answer. And then 7 times it came. I remember the day at the First Baptist Church of Dunlap, Illinois. I was standing on the platform leading the invitation song, Just As I Am. You realize there's like 6 or 7 verses to that song. And you think we drag it out here. Oh, my soul. And I'm just leading it. And I look over at the preacher and he's like, I kept leading it. And there's 1 or 2 people. And I look at the preacher, like, keep going. I keep leading it. And I keep leading. We get down to verse number 7. And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to have to shut her off now. I mean, we're out of music, all right? We're out of music. And big old Steve Parrott came out of the balcony. Now, you understand, Steve Parrott's like 6'6". He's 400 pounds if he's an ounce. He came that day to see his twin boys get baptized. Steve Parrott had never come to church. He didn't want to come to church. I mean, people were excited that he even showed up. But he was on the last pew of the back balcony. And his wife, Debbie Parrott, came to church. Those boys were now like 16 years old. And for 16 years, she got up every Sunday morning and she dressed those boys and she fed them and she brought them to church by herself. And every invitation, she'd hit the altar right over here and she'd pray that God would save old Steve Parrott. And every Sunday night, she'd put them in Patch the Pirate and she'd come and hear the preaching and hit the altar. And every Wednesday night, the boys would be in Bible club and she'd hit the altar and she'd pray for old Steve. 16 years, she didn't give up. And on the seventh and final verse of Just As I Am, old Steve came to the altar. He says, I didn't know what to do. I mean, the whole church came unhinged. People got their hankies out and they were waving them and shouting them in. And we just don't do that up in Illinois. We're just not emotional. And I'm just, whoo. For 16 years, she never let it go. She never gave up. She never stopped. What is it that you can show in your life that you never, ever stopped praying for? Your kids are growing up in a crazy, unhinged world where the abnormal is now normal. And it's not going to take just one prayer for them to get through. And listen, if it's worth praying for, then it's worth writing down. And if it's worth writing down, then it's worth praying for till God answers. Because our children are relying on our prayers. And the most powerful thing in this universe is prayer. Because prayer reaches as far as God does. It's as powerful as God is. It's as big as God is. Listen, today's outcome and whatever happens in your life today is based on whatever you prayed for over the past weeks. So it's either going to be awesome or it's going to be... Where are your kids going to be tomorrow? What are you going to be like tomorrow? It'll be based on your prayers today. What is it you want God to do for your spouse? Specifically. Line item by line item by line item. And I'm not talking about... I'm talking about for God's glory and their good, not yours. I'm not talking about sinful praying, like, God, make my wife a better wife so that she won't be such a terrible person to live with. That's wrong. God, help my parents because, man, they just cramp my style and embarrass me in front of my friends. I'm talking about for God's glory. What are you asking? What about your kids? You're about to visit family for the holidays. Have you talked to God about them yet? Have you discussed this with God? Are you clean? Are you specific? Are you tired of just Febrezing your prayers and wondering why nothing ever happens? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It all starts with the prayer in trusting Christ as our Savior, confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and our sin bearer, confessing that we're sinners and that He died in our place. It all starts there and asking Him to forgive us and be our Savior. Confessing we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch said in Acts chapter 8. And from there, prayer becomes the essential lifeblood of every Christian. Our Heavenly Father, today we come afresh and anew, seeking Your presence and Your face today, to restart a walk with You that is vibrant and specific, earnest and intimate, fervent and real. Start, O God, search each of us. Bring up the things that are yet to be cleansed, that we need to forsake and to repent of. If there's one among us today, God, that's lost, may they trust Christ right now. And Father, for the rest of us, oh God, show us, give us a glimpse of what You could do in our life and in the lives of those we love if we would just crawl up in Your lap and tell You what's on our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, in the next quiet moment, I want you to take a minute and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a couple of things, a couple of specific things to pray for.
about your spouse or your siblings or yourself. Now pray for them specifically. God said there's no limit to asking. I hear and I will answer. As she begins to play now, the altar is open. I'm going to come down on the front pew. If you'd like to trust the Lord as your Savior, discreetly, I will take my Bible and show you how to trust Christ. And you can start your prayer journey with the Lord Jesus Christ now. But for everyone else, what are you waiting for? The Father's arms are open wide. He wants to talk to you. Won't you come?
Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do.
We're going to be like, what's next month going to be like? The only person that can change the heart of a human being is God. The only person that's going to change the inside is God. No amount of common sense, no amount of anything. It's God. You need God. And that's prayer. Prayer. Nothing else will bring a child back who's a rebel. Nothing. Only God can move the heart of a rebel. Only God can reverse the years the locust have eaten, as he said in Hosea. Nothing. Won't you ask? He commands us to. He knows what you've done. He knows where you've been. And he still wants you to crawl up in his lap and ask him. Because he forgives. And he wipes clean. Oh God, thank you for your promise that if we confess our sins, you cleanse us completely. And that we can be clean as we purpose to be. We can be clean each day. We can come to you and keep that short accounts with you because we are sinners who fail. And Father, we need you. And Father, as we pray, may each person in here feel your presence. And Father, we ask that you would use the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to bring things to mind. Things that we can ask for. Things that are specific. Our children need our prayers. Oh God, please. Our nation needs our prayers. And Father, today as we fellowship a little bit here after the service, Father, help us to shed to give the love that you've given us to each other as we greet each other, as we get to know each other. We're thankful for each and every person that has come today. And Father, we want them to know that they matter because they matter to you. Help us to love them. And Father, help, we ask God that we'd surrender and you'd love them through us. Bless us now as we continue in our service in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.